What do you say we bring in Flo Tess, our first lady of the Eugene sports scene, lighting up the screen, covering sports for KEZI. Follow her on Twitter. Use the handle at Kristen E. Rogers. And like I always tell you, spell it like the Packer quarterback. She is live on the scene in Spokane. We welcome in Kristen Rogers. KR, really appreciate you finding some time for us. How you doing?
Of course, Steve. Got to keep FloTus Fridays up, even when I'm up here in Spokane, Washington.
Now, let's get the misery out of the way. You're a USC alum. came in on such a high, beat UCLA three times this year, were the 8-9, did have to go all the way to Raleigh, nail-biter, foul shooting at the end, the defense going comatose on the game winner. So on the bitter defeat scale, how does this one rate with you?
I mean, it's tough. You know, there was so much writing on the line, and I know actually a good chunk of SC fans flew out to that game. And,
whoa,
you know, talking with people close to the team, I mean, they wanted this. So, you know, in that way it's disappointing. I feel like SC kind of played like a young team, which it is, in those last 5 minutes. But, man, oh, man, that wide open layup on the inbound pass, like right at the end, like I was shocked. I was shocked. So it's tough for SC fans everywhere, and obviously tough for the program and tough for the Pac-12 if you want to look at this on a bigger picture, considering everything that's happened so far, with really Utah being the only Pac-12 team that's moved on so far.
Now, I guess the silver lining, third year under Andy Enfield, kind of took over a car wreck,
yeah.
Lost more than 20 games the first 2 years. So I guess this has got to be a case now in the light of day where you see the big picture, because it's obvious he's turned it around and a lot of reason to be excited about this program moving forward.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about what Andy Enfield was dealt when he first came to SC, and I mean, you know, the fact that he's been able to do this in 3 years is really a credit to him. And I think the SC program is only going to continue to grow. You know, obviously this one hurts, but that team knows now what it's like to be in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to want to fight back and make sure that they can get past the first round next year.
Now, you mentioned the Pac-12 and one of the games in Spokane, Cal-Hawaii. What you witnessed without Ty Wallace, the scandal looming, the nature of Hawaii, who forced a lot of turnovers, kind of balance it out on offense. Despite being a 13-4, all those factors, was this just more disappointing than shocking, maybe?
I think disappointing is the right word. You know, There are so many distractions, and it's as a program, it's hard to keep all of those distractions outside the program. I mean, if you think about the coaching, if you think about Wallace, like it almost just came to be too many distractions that it's not going to be. It's going to be in the back of your head when you take the four. And I think disappointing, as you mentioned, is the right word, because I think that this was a great Cal team, and they were looking really good heading into the tournament and in those last few games. And it just, you know, it was tough to see all the pieces kind of fall out of place for them.
We're talking with our first lady of the Eugene sports scene, Flo Tess in Spokane, Kristen Rogers. I saw on Twitter you posted some sound with Dylan Ennis, who obviously isn't playing for his team as the one seed. A year ago, he started for Villanova, who was the one seed. What kind of advice did he offer this Oregon team now in a very similar situation?
Yeah, his advice is, I mean, for taking a step back, I think Dana Altman has to be very, very happy that Dylan Ennis is currently on this team, because Dana's message and Dylan's message are the exact same. It is forget about the feeding, just play basketball. Like, they've literally done this entire week, and you could, you know, talking with other players, that's been, you know, a message that Dana's just been bringing up every single day, is forget about the seeding. We don't care that we're a number one seed, guys. Just focus on playing basketball. And talking with the guys yesterday, you know, they said that they really aren't focusing on that kind of 1-16 matchup. Although, I did talk with Dylan Brooks yesterday and asked him if he feels like there's any extra pressure being a one seed going up against the 16 seed and no one seed ever losing to a 16 seed. And he said, hey, we've been making a lot of history. We just don't want to make that kind of history. So I think this team is very motivated going against Holy Cross today.
Yeah, and for the record, for those who don't remember, Villanova won a game and then got knocked out by NC State, so we don't even want to go there.
No.
You mentioned what the Duck coaches and players are saying, the right things. You mentioned Elgin Cook talking about at this point the seeds don't matter. And you spend a lot of time around these guys. How would you say they're handling this, being a focal point, got to stay in their region? Would you say they have more of a quiet confidence?
After what I witnessed in the locker room yesterday, I wouldn't call it a quiet confidence. I think if, you know, you see them on game day and now, you know, that's more of their quiet confidence, like watching these guys get on the bus, they are locked in. But yesterday it was all fun, really. It was all smiles. I mean, the guys were just excited that you could see that they were impacted by what March Madness is. The energy in that locker room yesterday was just electric. I mean, these guys were laid back, loose. Dylan Ennis was all over the place with that Twitter mirror of his, and it was just, I mean, the guys were just having fun, and they were just watching basketball, and, you know, they just wanted to be able to get out onto the court and play already. And I think that's good because you do have to stay loose, and that is kind of the mindset you really want to have going in, especially to the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I saw you posted a picture of Dwayne Benjamin warming up yesterday, and obviously at the end of the Arizona game, he went down in a heap, but showed up, hit a big three, and then in the finale against Utah, played 13 minutes, didn't do much. Is there any visible sign of that ankle injury, or is it he just didn't play a lot because it was a blowout, or does it appear he's just okay?
No, I mean, he looks fine. He looked fine moving around yesterday, and I think what was funny is I saw a lot more players taking free throws in the first few minutes of practice than I've seen them do in the past. So obviously Dana put an emphasis on that. But no, he looked fine. And then I did talk to Dylan Brooks about the stitches he had in his head. Obviously the stitches are out now, and the scar is healing up nicely. But, you know, he said everyone on this team feels good and ready to go.
With Kristen Rogers on the line of KEZI. She's in Spokane getting ready for Ducks Crusaders. You also posted a video of Chris Boucher on Twitter. The big news, he's back another year. So I guess two things. I guess it took a minute for him to figure out what his coach was telling him. And fill us in.
No. It's a funny story. So I kind of heard this from first of all, from like Greg Walker, you know, SIDs for Oregon, and I asked Chris about it. So apparently Dana gathered the team together and said that he had some good news and some bad news. The good news was that the Ducks had gained a junior, or excuse me, the bad news was that the Ducks had lost a senior. The good news is that the Ducks had gained a junior. And apparently, like, Chris didn't get it. Like, Chris was telling me yesterday he had no idea what Dana Altman was talking about. So he was just kind of like standing there. He's like, wait, he just didn't understand. He's like, what's happening? And then finally he had to have Steve explain it to him. And he was like, oh, awesome. Like, I'm going to be back for another year. So then he was able to celebrate. But, he told me that he literally had no idea. You know, it's kind of like he missed the punchline completely.
All right. Well, I guess maybe the coach isn't a guy who delivers well and should cancel any plans for for stand-up career.
I don't think Dana Altman would do too well at stand-up.
All right, I mean, final thought, kind of general. Obviously, where you are, Cal's from the West Coast. You got Holy Cross from New England, St. Joe's from Philly, Cincinnati, Maryland, South Dakota. Are you able to get a feel for how Oregon fans traveled? I know tip-off's in about an hour around town. How noticeable is the Duck contingent?
So the first time I really was able to see the Duck contingent was yesterday during their open practice, and there was a good number of Duck fans here. I think a lot of Duck fans, based on what I've been seeing on Twitter for people tweeting at me and things like that, is everyone either drove up last night or they drove up early this morning. So I have a feeling it's going to be a lot more green and yellow come tip off. And I feel like, you know, being in Spokane and just 7 hours away, I feel like a lot of people, like I did myself, loaded up their phones with a bunch of podcasts and made the 7-hour trek up here to Spokane.
All right, and last thought, as always, I like to ask you what we could expect to see from you on Twitter, on the site, and on KEZI.
Yes, if you want Duck content, I will be providing that for the next how long? Hopefully until Houston for Oregon. So that's where I will be for the next few weeks until their NCAA tournament run ends.
All right. Well, KR, I know you're busy, but again, I really appreciate you taking some time to speak with us. You enjoy it. We'll look forward to your coverage, and travel safe back to Eugene, and we'll catch up next week.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much again for having me on, Steve.
Okay, take care, Kristen.